Hello, 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 and welcome to today's episode of Wolves Fancast. Richard Hobbs here, joining you via, I guess, audio and via video as well. Great to have you all along with us. Wolves Fancast, as always, are proud to be part of the 90 Min Football Family Network. Joining me today, I am joined by Gully and Adam, and Adam in particular seems to be enjoying the sunshine today.
I'm waving for the visual viewers who will be looking at this, and hello as well to the audio viewers.
We've got to remain professional throughout now, just because we're on camera.
Yeah, pretty much.
Love for these podcasts, if I'm being brutally honest, guys.
Yeah, there'll be no eye rolling, no finger gestures. We are doing it above board today, guys. So, as I say, trying really hard not to roll my eyes. So, sometimes, guys, we plan a podcast and we get the timing wrong. Sometimes we get it just right. So today, as of about 2.5 hours ago, there's been moving and changing between the sticks. So yesterday, we'll start with Rui Patricio. So our stalwart goalkeeper of the last 3 years, after a, would you call it a summer transfer saga?
Oh, well, yeah. It's been on for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Fabrizio Romano's fed up with tweeting about it anyway.
Yeah. It's going to happen, guys. It's going to happen. But it has finally happened. He has moved to Roma. He is Jose Mourinho's first signing over in Italy. I think it's been a really interesting reaction in a way, because in my notes, I sort of put the best goalie since. And I think on paper, I can't think of a better goalie I've seen in my lifetime.
Better goalie since Graeme Stack.
Yeah, or I was going to say Jan Buds. Stefan Posma. I thought we would make it more than, you know, 2 minutes 20 into the show, but Graeme Stack gets
him. Andy Lonergan, that was the end of your sentence. Best goalie
Andy Lonergan. I tell you what, I know we're getting sidetracked already. We could do a good podcast on Wolves lone short-term goalies who have really not hit the mark.
Let's not get on to Emi Martinez then, because we've had a good few weeks, hasn't
it? I was going to say Stu will be sort of bombarding his way into this if we're not careful, if we start talking about Emi. So, Adam, for you, where does Patricio sit, either in terms of Wolves players, or Wolves goalkeepers in the, you know, past generation or so, but also as players at the club in general? Because it sort of really hit me that when he signed, it was actually quite a big deal. He was Portugal's number one goalkeeper, one of their most capped players, very much a stalwart in Portugal. So for him to come to Wolves, it was quite a big deal. So kind of, I guess, by virtue of that fact, does it have the same impact?
Oh, God, I mean, like, it was a massive, massive deal when we signed him. And you have to put it all into a degree of context, in that we were newly promoted into the Premier League at the time. And we were getting not just any national team's number one. We weren't getting, like, I don't know, Estonia's number one or something like that. We were getting,
I knew he was going to say Estonia. I don't know why. I
just knew. It was either that or Burkina Faso. That's the two on the top of my tongue. But it's Portugal's number one. So it's like an elite level country. And he was coming to a newly promoted team. And I think that summer that he signed, I think we're all glued to the messiah that is Nicholas Alec on Twitter, giving us all the information about him signing for us. And to be fair, he's been bang on the money ever since minute one. I remember when he signed, I was like, have we really just like signed Rui Patricio? I know there were circumstances around him leaving Sporting, which obviously are very well known, but I can't believe that we've actually got him. It was ridiculous when we signed him. I was elated. And I think over the 3 years he's been with us, he's proven that he's probably one of, if not the best keeper that we've had. I mean, obviously you can compare him to numerous others down the years, but it's a different bar at different times, I guess, really. It's a big statement for us to make at the time. first time he's ever left Portugal, and he's come to Wolverhampton. And I think he's just been great since minute one he's been down here. I know people tend to pick out little foibles of his abilities, like his kicking and what have you. But I mean, no goalkeeper's perfect. I mean, not even goalkeepers that play for Man City and Liverpool are perfect. You know, Edison and Alisson have got their own, you know, drop their own ricks every now and then. And I'm sure people could point out Ruiz, but overall, he's an elite level keeper, and we've had him for the last 3 years, which I think is amazing, absolutely amazing. I mean, to be honest, I think in the circumstances of him leaving, I think he's probably been well. You said he's been well documented since the start. Since again, our friend the Messiah, Nicholas Alec, put it out there that he was looking to move. He wasn't even looking to move on, was he? It was basically a point where Fosun looked at it and said that, you know, we can make a bit of money here by selling them on and getting someone else in. And I don't even think he really wanted to leave Patricio, if I'm honest. I think that, again, judging off from what's been suggested, that he would have happily stayed. But we've took the opportunity to make a bit of money. And the money we've got for him, for a keeper of his age and last year the contract, is a really good deal for us. But to go back to the original point, I think it's probably the best keeper we've got. It's not often that we sign a goalkeeper who's got a statue in his hometown, is it?
No, exactly. I mean, Gully, I guess it's, I'm going to sort of tangent off a bit in terms of Wolves in general, because Wolves have, I guess, a couple of times now have sold, last season it was Doherty and Jota, and this year it's been Patricio and who else knows. But they seem to sort of be fairly clinical. If they think there is a player who they can sell and get a decent return on, no matter, I guess, how integral they are to the team. And I think Patricio was, and he was very much a mainstay. And I don't think he had the great... Actually, I was going to say, I think he had a solid season last season, but some of the cracks in his game showed. But the club do seem to be pretty on it. If they go, you know what, we think this is going to be the peak that we can make a return on him, that they seem to be very kind of happy to do so.
Yeah, I mean, if we think back to the time that he joined, initially it was a free transfer, wasn't it? Based on the fact that he'd been released from his contract. So, I mean, if you look at it from that perspective, obviously we then ended up paying a fee for him. But, you know, at that point, excitement levels were on the scale of, flares wearing arseholes, I suppose, is the new benchmark, isn't it? But like you say, it's a cutthroat business at Wolves at the moment with Fosun at the helm. They clearly saw that Patricio was never going to be more valuable than at this point in his in his Wolves tenure. 1 year left on his contract, probably. You know, he's a good age for a goalkeeper, really, but, you know, he's not necessarily going to get any better. And you wonder if that was playing on their mind slightly, especially considering that I would suggest anyway that his stock kind of fell slightly this year, much like the teams did. Everybody seems to have a bit of a down season, really. And while he was, the way I would describe him, he's a very sound goalkeeper, you know, unlikely to make a real big error. Little things you could point out on certain goals which have been disappointing probably over the last 12 months, but really, you know, as reliable as you'll get anywhere. But I also think, on the same token, because he's not, you know, necessarily the most spectacular or outstanding with things like the ball at his feet, or, you know, he's not going to make absolute worldy saves every single game, there's a potential for him to be replaced at the end of the day. I don't think he was ever absolutely, you know, indispensable at any point in his Wolves career, if I'm being honest. And, you know, your goalkeeper, with the way that we played, was a well-protected footballer, especially considering that Nuno liked to have a back three and keep teams at arm's length. You know, a lot of his work was done from distance and, you know, very good hands from shots from distance and things, but really, how much pressure was he under over the last 3 years? I wouldn't suggest that much. And he didn't necessarily allow us to play in a more progressive manner because he liked being stuck to his line. Look, that's the way he played. It worked for us up until a point. But I think there's still an opportunity now to actually move forward as a team.
No, definitely. I think you've touched on nicely to my next point as well, Gully, in terms of his style of play, that he was a big fan of his own six-yard box. And anywhere else, it was, you know, like the Hobbits trying to leave the Shire. And I kind of get the idea that if he, you know, if we can't play more expansive next season, we would just go with a back four. You know, he had that sweeper in Cody who just give that extra level of protection so he didn't have to be a quote-unquote sweeper goalkeeper. And with Sarr, who we'll come on to in a little bit, seems to be a bit more aggressive in terms of, you know, using his whole penalty box. And I wonder how much that sort of played into it, that Patricio fitted the system really well. And I think I had him down probably first half of the season as one of our players of the year last season, Patricio. But I guess the more we played forward at the back, again, he wasn't someone who made big howlers. He wasn't someone you kind of, I can immediately go, you know, he massively fumbled it. The only ones I can really think of was the Newcastle free kick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he has sort of a catalogue of errors.
He's not going to chuck one in the net, is he? He's just, no. Yeah.
You know, even compared to, you know, good goalkeepers we've had in the past. So I can remember Matt Murray making a few mistakes, ironically, with the ball at his feet, which we always used to, you know, chastise Patricio for. Hennessy do similar ones. Even Akimi did that one against Norwich where he caught the ball and ran into the back of his own net, if I remember correctly. So I'd be interested to see if, I guess, Bruno Lage has, I guess, had a bit of influence on it as well. And if Patricio can't adapt his game at, you know, what is he, 31, 32? You know, he's probably not going to suit that. Whereas, let's be honest, he's probably got a very good move by going to a Jose Mourinho team and B, a Jose Mourinho team in Italy.
I think it's like been mentioned on many reports that Mourinho has always wanted Patricio, and that I think I read somewhere, it might have been on The Athletic, I can't remember where, but he promised him he'd always come and get him, basically, Mourinho.
Okay. So
he was always in the pipeline that at some point he would go and get him. And it's all nicely, all the cards have fallen nicely because obviously Olympiacos have signed a new keeper, I think, yesterday. We've got a new keeper today. Patricio went 2 days ago. So it's all nicely planned out over the last couple
Sounds
of days.
Sounds like there's someone pulling the strings behind the scenes there.
Yeah. It almost bears those hallmarks, doesn't it?
You know? Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I really, as a general point, you know, I really rated him. I thought he was great. I thought he took to not just the club, but also like the city quite well. You know, he's come from like a major European city to our town / city. And his style of play, like you said, Rich, I never come away once from a game, maybe apart from that Newcastle one, where I thought, you know, Ruiz cost us today, or Ruiz should have really, really, really dropped the ball with that one. I never really come away from that. And like Gully said, he's been solid keeper. He's by and large very, very dependable. And that's someone who plays for number one for Portugal, you know, you probably should come to expect that, really. His kicking was probably something that was a bit suspect. I know, I think Doherty or probably Dendonka was regularly the recipient of his goal kicks, wasn't it? Or if they didn't, just go straight out of play anyway from his goal kicks and clearances. But like I say, you know, no goalkeeper's perfect, and you can't, you know, you can aspire to perfection, but it doesn't mean you're going to get it from any player or goalkeeper that you have. Like I say, you talk elite level clubs who have their goalkeepers, they're not perfect, but Rui Patricio at the end of the day was pretty bloody good.
Yeah, and I think the fact he was very almost understated, the fact, and it, I always kind of put it down to, you know, he didn't make loads of worldly saves or anything like that, but he comfortably made a lot of saves, and that's usually just down to very good positioning. And it was good, and as Goody sort of noted before, it's having a good defence in front of him who, you know, restricted the shots coming into better areas for him to save. But yeah, I guess one of the last points I was going to sort of shift to you, Gully, we talked about Jose Mourinho. Would you describe Jose Mourinho signing a Portuguese goalkeeper as his first signing a very standard Mourinho signing to build, like, to really kind of enforce his authority?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'm not sure who their goalkeeper was last year, Roma, but it feels like a move that kind of suits all parties. He's going to be playing in Europe next season as well. Clearly, Roma are chasing some level of success in Italy. Juve haven't been the side that they were. Inter Milan are having to sell players. Maybe there's an opportunity to even win a title there. You know, because Serie A is becoming a little bit more of a 3 or 4 horse race over the last 12 months. But I think, yeah, you know, and as I'm sure we'll move on and talk about, Wolves aren't necessarily left in the lurch here. You know, it's not like we've been, you know, totally wiped out and gazumped by Mr. Mendes. He's taken care of us to a certain extent, and seems to do so for the most part. And yeah, we're already, you know, looking forward to our new number one taking place in goal.
Yeah, so that I guess swiftly moves us on to going from Postman Pat to Fireman Saar. I know I did that joke on Twitter. I'm sticking with it. Sorry, guys. So Wolves pretty much invested the money straight away. This is something that's obviously been very cleverly worked from about 4 different clubs to pull off. But Wolves have sort of made a profit in terms of getting Jose Sarr from Olympiacos and still having some left in the kitty from the sale of Rui Patricio. On first glances, from what I've seen of Jose Sarr, pretty much from the couple of times he played against Wolves and in the Champions League, I will confess to our lovely listeners, I don't watch much Greek football. So I won't give you a sort of full in depth.
What authority do you have to speak on the subject, Rich? Honestly,
my massive ego. we'll go with that, and whatever stats I've found on Football Manager, and I will just blag it. Hopefully, but from what I've seen of him, would you sort of describe him as a bit of a polar opposite to Patricio in terms of his overall style? Despite the fact that they're the same nationality, they kind of look a bit similar, if Jose Sarr, you know, neatens his beard up. But they seem to sort of be almost the antithesis of 2 different types of goalkeepers.
I don't know. I mean, I'll be perfectly honest. The only time I recall seeing Jose Sarr play was the first leg against Olympiacos, because I always remember the second leg, they played like their reserve goalkeeper. There was an interesting stat about him, like, being, you know, not getting into, like, I don't know, Raith Rovers' first team or something like that at one point in his career. And then he went and made a rick, and you know, Jimenez scored a penalty off the back of it. So I always remember that. But so I really don't know what to expect. But if the words in the article ring true, I think it's an ideal way to set us up for a little bit more of a progressive team. The word on the street or on social media is that he is going to command his box a little bit better. He might look to be a bit more proactive in possession. And, you know, personally speaking, I've always thought that Matt Murray was the best goalkeeper I've seen at Wolves. Probably because I've been duped by the spectacular nature of the way he played. You know, he couldn't collect crosses on the edge of his own box. Like, he was frankly ridiculous at that. But that's one thing I think that if I was a Wolves manager, I'd find a bit of a non-negotiable. You know, if the ball's in the air, it coming in towards the box and your keeper can make a claim for it, he should be. And that was one thing that always kind of stuck with me in Rui, that, you know, it didn't help out his defence at all.
I think Sarr's got the height to do that. I think he's like 6'4" or something like that. So you'd expect him to be claiming those crosses, wouldn't you, really? You expect he's got the physique and the stature, to come and do that.
And keepers are always really well protected, aren't they? I find. So, you know, there's almost no excuse sometimes.
Exactly. And I'm exactly with Gully. I physically can't profess to say too much about him because, you know, who among us here are Greek football experts? And I know that just he's not going to have been tested too many times in his career at Olympiakos because they're, by and large, you know, the runaway leaders of Greece in most years. You know, I think they're like the Rangers or Celtic of their own division, but got about nearly 50 titles to their name. But I think you occasionally see on the Champions League games, and he does appear that he's quick off his line, from what I've seen. But yeah, by and large, other than that, you have to. All we can say at the minute is that it's a good deal financially for the club to sign him. That we've sold a player in the last year of the contract for just over 10 million. And we bought in someone who's 5 years his junior for what, 6.8, 7 million, something like that. So it does lend to Fosun's ability to spot, okay, where, and this is obviously all with FFP in mind. They've already said they need to raise money to buy players. So they've spotted, okay, Patricio as a player where we can move him on, get some money. We've got in Sarr, who I guess, you know, we're talking about Patricio who has got currently 97 caps for Portugal versus Jose Sarr, who I don't even think has played for the Portugal senior team yet. I know he's come through the under-18s, 20s ranks and everything like that, but I don't think he's actually even played for Portugal yet.
No, he hasn't.
I think he's currently like third or fourth choice. And I know he didn't make the... In fact, he must be fourth choice because he didn't make the Euro squad, did he? So... I know some people have looked and thought maybe is this a downgrade. I'm looking purely from the outside in off what I've just said. You know, you could potentially say that maybe it is, but you just don't know these things. You don't know his style could be more suited to the way that we play, more suited to the Premier League. I'm just happy that we've got something sorted so quickly. You know that we've got another player in, and I know he's not played at the highest level in the league, but he plays at the Champions League, and he has played the Champions League more often than Rui has recently. So, I'm just excited to see him play, to see him in the team, to be honest, and see how he gets on. I don't know how good his English is. I don't know how well he can communicate with Cody, but that never stopped Rui, did it?
No, exactly. Gilly, where do you sort of sit on the, I guess, upgrade / downgrade? Because I know... like Stuart Fancast, he's championed Sarr since I think even before Wolves played Olympiakos. You know, he's sort of really championed him, and I do get the argument that, well, hang on, he's not getting anywhere near the national team, and Patricio, he is the number one, and I know there's sort of extenuating circumstances around it, so. Yeah, do you think it's an upgrade, downgrade, or does it not really matter? I wouldn't say a goalkeeper's not an important position because pitchforks will be out, but if it is a downgrade, do you think it's that significant if it really is?
I don't mind saying it. I don't know how necessarily, you know, important someone like Bruno Lage might see the goalkeeping position being, because ultimately... There's a whole lot of shit that happens in a football match that the goalkeeper just cannot impact, and that includes shots going into the back of the net, which obviously is their job. But, you know, sometimes you just got to hold your hands up as a goalkeeper and say, you know what, I weren't getting anywhere near that. The real impact that he can have on the team, I think, will have to be in possession, allowing the team to play higher up the pitch. That doesn't necessarily mean he has to be a world-class goalkeeper either. I think he just has to be... instinctive, well tuned with the system, those kind of things. You know, able to communicate with his teammates. If he doesn't make worldy saves, I don't think necessarily that, you know, we're all going to be up in arms about it, because ultimately Patricio didn't make worldy saves every single game. So, you know, if he's going to add something different to what Rui did, the one thing Rui was pretty reliable on was his handling. So maybe Saad is a bit deficient in that area. Who knows? But all signs point towards, I think, you know, this not necessarily being a problem for the club. I think that's the way I'd describe it. The other thing I did want to say, though, was that John Woody was convinced to sign a new contract. And I do wonder if there is more of a sniff of him getting into the number one shirt, getting into that position. And maybe that's a stick that they dangled in front of him in order to make sure he signed. Now, that won't sound good to many Wolves fans, I know, because ultimately, you know, people aren't that keen on Woody playing, you know, when he does get the opportunity. But I do think playing in goal, you know, not being a goalkeeper or anything, I can imagine if you haven't had a run of games and you're asked to just drop into a one-off match in a cup competition or something, rustiness affects you more in that position than it would in probably any other, I would suggest.
No, I do agree with you, Matt. It might even be a case of I guess him to play as, let's say, like Dendonka. When he first joined, he didn't sort of play the first half of the year where, you know, he got to learn the system and things like that. Appreciate that was under a different manager. But it might have something similar that Rudy is our, you know, Rudy to start the first five games of the season while Saar gets up to speed. Absolutely no idea. But I think it's going to be really interesting to sort of see how it all takes. I think, as we sort of said, on the whole, yes, it's different. Yes, it's on paper potentially, you know, the balance in terms of silverware, caps, accolades is probably a bit weighted towards Patricio. But, you know, I think it's, you know, sort of you alluded to, Gully, it's, you know, not necessarily saying goalkeeping isn't the most important position on the pitch, but it's what aspect of goalkeeping you're prioritising. So Patricio focused his game, as said, on shot stopping, on handling, on those almost the fundamental basics of goalkeeping, whereas Bruno and to an extent Jose Saar, it might be quick distribution, starting attacks, getting that ball back up away from goal as quickly as possible. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see, and it all points to, I guess, the difference in style that we might be facing, which we will be talking about just after this quick break, because we're going to be talking about pre-season friendlies and also the new kit drop that's happened again today. Far too much news to happen in one day, if you ask me, but that's why we're here to cover it. So we'll be right back just after a short break. Welcome back, everybody. So I can't remember if it's in the last week or so, but Wolves pre-season fixtures have been released. I think COVID depending, people might be able to attend, but you can watch them all online via the discounted rate if you are so inclined. But to give you a quick rundown, because actually our first game, I was going to say as of time of recording, is against Crewe Alexander this Saturday on the 17th. Then we have got our Spanish training camp where we're playing Real Betis and Las Palmas before returning to sunny Stoke, Coventry City, and finishing off our pre-season pre-season schedule we'll go for against Celta Vigo at Molineux on the 7th of August. I mean, how much, you know, you put into pre-season results, I don't think you can do really. It's going to be cool to see how they play initially under Bruno. But I think the one I really want to talk about is the one that's about to happen, which is against Crewe. And what I think is going to be the potential return of Jimenez in a Wolves shirt. There's almost not much I can say apart from I think it's going to be one of the best feelings to see him out on a football pitch again.
Oh, absolutely. It's a shame none of us really can be there to see it, to be honest. Because I think it's only open to Crewe season ticket holders, isn't it? But
yeah.
Crewe, who's a great place to go as well, as a side point. Just for,
it's just, a good good solid away day, would you say?
Good solid away day. That is, I think I remember going there. I think when we was in League One, pubs every third or fourth establishment was a pub, and straight off the railway station. But nice little place for Bruno to get the pre-season up and running. I guess I bet Raul can't wait, to be honest. I bet he this will be probably one of the biggest games of his life, and I know it can sound a bit of a cliche and a bit crass to say that, but when you spent as long at the game as he has due to his injury, I bet you he cannot wait to get on that pitch on Saturday to start playing football again. And I bet all the squads are buzzing for him as well. I'm really looking forward to seeing him. I mean, it's pre-season, so at this point, you know, you don't take too much stock in the result. You're more looking at the style of play. Let me just caveat that, though. What we're not looking for is a Morecambe 6, Wolves 1 that we had many years ago, Dave Jones' time. We're not looking for something that bad, but...
I'll be honest.
Yeah, that was Dave Jones, wasn't it, before Premier League 2003, but... I mean, obviously, at this point, you're looking at... he hasn't got his full squad back. Obviously, all the internationals that went and reached the latter stages have not come back yet. So I think Romain Saïss has come back either today or yesterday. So he's back in the fold now. It's just time this summer where really, obviously, we've had our fill of football with the Euros, but then we're going straight into a pre-season campaign where, again, the Wolves fans are just, or fans in general, just chomping at the bit to go out and watch some football, even if it is like meaningless friendlies somewhere. But this would be one which I think the fans would have loved to have gone to purely because of Raul. Seeing him with the shirt on, the new shirt. And I'll be delighted to see when I'm seeing the updates of it on Saturday that I see R. Jimenez pop up on the score sheet. That would be lovely if that happened.
Yeah, you can imagine, as Adam said, if he does get some minutes, he'll be, you know, more than happy wherever he's, you know, whatever stadium he's playing in. But he'll love he's such a striker who loves scoring goals. It doesn't matter if he's doing it in Cheshire or wherever, does it?
No, not at all. I have to say, recently, over the last couple of weeks, it's really hit me that, you know, I'm genuinely, you know, I've missed him so much. Like, just not having him in the team. You know, and that excitement to see him back in a Wolves shirt leading the line is very much there right now. And how much of a difference he's going to make to that lineup, regardless of what shape we're playing and stuff. You know, it's frankly going to be night and day between some of the striking performances we saw towards the end of last season. And I can say that confidently, I feel, knowing that he's suffered a serious injury and maybe impacted... by that and in terms of his bravery, in terms of, you know, the situations that he puts himself into when he's in the game. But, you know, just a breath of fresh air, because he was just such a good player to watch, and you could just tell he just loved his football like entirely. And this was the first time, you know, he'd come to a club in a few years and actually had a chance of being the main man somewhere, and I think he appreciated that for sure. I think ultimately, the pre-season, you know, schedule is there to embed a new system. And, you know, for the first time in 4 years, this is what's going to be happening. So that's very exciting, I have to say. And, you know, the lineup on, you know, in the pre-season friendly versus Crewe is going to be one of the most anticipated, you know, lineups that we've had in a long time, which is quite strange to say. But, you know,
imagine if it's 5-3-2.
Oh, God, could you? This is the thing. I mean, you know, we all remember, you know, every podcast we went on last towards the end of last season, you know, expecting nothing but the lineup from before, nothing but the shape from before, and, you know, trying to discuss, you know, what talking points there were to have from it, and it just became incredibly stale. And you know, just being able to have that kind of feeling and anticipation for the game is another reason why I just feel like it was probably time for Nuno to move on and to bring in a new face. And I'm excited to see what Bruno has up his sleeve, because, you know, if it is progressive attacking football with the talent that we've got at our disposal, with the signings that we brought in, you know, Trincao, you know, it's an exciting time to be a Wolves fan again, I think. And hopefully we can relight that fire.
Yeah, I think the photo that was doing the rounds of Jimenez, Neto, Trincao and Podence all sort of posing together, you're like, that's a good lineup. And, you know,
reminded of that though, I think. I do think yeah. The fans needed reminding of the talent that we actually have at the club.
And Traore knocking about. I think one of the other things I was going to say about pre-season, Fabio Silva looks like he's been hitting the gym this summer, hasn't he? Big fan of that. It's one of those things where you're like, it was what was needed. Everyone knew it. He knew it. And it's really kind of refreshing to see, because Neto had a similar thing, if you ask me, that when he first came, he looked weak. And you could see during the season, he was physically getting stronger. And you're seeing that as well with Fabio.
Yeah, he's following the footballer's guide 101, isn't he? He's gone away. He's got his sleeve tattoo. Got the hit in the gym. Just needs the third one there for Luke's bingo card. He needs to get that trim done, and he's on for double figures this season.
If he was a barber in Wolverhampton right now, you'd be hammering his Instagram, like, wouldn't you?
Just
getting his DM, you know, offering whatever he wants.
I'm surprised Luke isn't DMing himself, saying, Fabio, you need to get a trim. Trust me, get yourself a trim, lad. Go on. Depending on how we play, which obviously is completely up in the air at the minute. But imagine if we're playing two up front. Yeah, I think, depending on how that partnership works, I think we should expect more goals from him.
What
this year,
with that Cassone and Rafa Mir?
No, there's an option. There's two options for us. Both still our players as well. I think we should expect more goals from him, to be honest. He's had his year experience in the league. He's had more experience than what him and anyone else bargained for. We can see, we've got glimpses of, we could see that why he scored so many goals at youth level. So I'm expecting big things from him. It all depends on the style of play that we choose to do. If we are looking at playing more attacking, I'd expect him to therefore get more chances. And we can see how much of a good finisher he is. So I would probably expect him to be nearing that double figure mark. I'm not saying he'll get it, but I think he'll be nearing that, or get him towards that, just as a natural improvement in his game.
Yeah, I'm optimistic he's going to sort of push on again to another level. We saw him showing off his lovely new sleeve tattoo in the new Wolves home kit that, again, was launched today. You can get it in two styles now, which is very fancy. So you can get the replica version and the pro version, which is twice as expensive. So, fellas, my big question I'm going to ask you is, what do we think? Are we fans of it? Are we not quite sure? I think I quite like it, you know. Hopefully I've sort of pulled it up on screen now, for any of those who are listening.
It was up briefly.
Yeah, I will try and get it to work if I can do. There we go.
Is that the pro version or the peasant version?
I don't quite know, to be honest. I feel really bad when I say this.
Oh, it's the peasant one. It's the peasant.
Adam, you know some rich peasants, I'll be honest.
I like it. And I think what you can always say with kits is it always looks better in person. And I think sometimes the colour isn't necessarily bang on.
Don't be on to colours, Rich. That is not a debate for this podcast.
Do you remember when the kit came out last year and everyone's got like seven different shades of colour to it, and it was a daily debate over what colour the kit actually was until you got it? We're probably the same again with this one, to be honest.
Yeah, but I mean, surely this is a wider point for any Wolves kit fanatics, historians, however you want to describe them, but the colours changed a decent amount over time.
Oh yeah.
Like it's not just that since Adidas, you know, started doing the kits. Like, you know, the old gold, so to speak, has had early in the time I've watched Wolves has changed quite a bit. You know, it doesn't necessarily stay to one colour. I think that's the interesting thing for me about having the, I guess, the kit colour that Wolves have. It's not like Man United, where it just seems to be the same red.
Yeah.
I'm so glad this is a Wolves podcast, because I can feel like if we did like a snapshot saying that, we'll just get bombarded for saying, no, it isn't. There's 1,000 different shades of red.
Well, like I said at the start, I think just before we started recording, I think we are missing our resident kit aficionado in Stu, who would clear all of this up. But Stu, feel free to send a little video in for the socials to have the bottom line on all of it. I think my take on the kit is that I'm grateful that I will now be able to identify my team on the pitch just because I know what kit they're going to be wearing now. And that is the most important thing, frankly. Although, no, it is quite nice. It is quite nice.
Yeah, some people do get dramatically hung up over the kit, don't they? Yeah. Oh, just the shoulders should have this on them instead, or there should be this stripe down the sides on the waist. And is it Air Team colours? Yeah, okay, fine. There you go. Has it got tie marks over it like in the 90s? No, okay, we're fine.
You know. Is that the two questions that this is the answer? That's it. Yeah. There's no freaking tie marks.
It is nice. I do like it. I think we expected it to be decent once we know Castor were involved, because we all quite liked the Rangers kit, didn't we? So we were expecting good things. I don't see any other people who've had Castor have had this pro version and standard version. So I don't know if we've got some like exclusive deal with Castor.
Did Newcastle get it? I can't quite remember. Again, I'm going off what Stu told me a while back, and I'll level with you. I tuned out.
Even if they do have both, like Rangers and Newcastle have pro and whatever, I'm not sure about the whole concept of it, to be honest. Because
no.
I mean, I've looked on the shorts and the socks, and there's pro versions of them as well, and there's literally zero difference from what I can see.
I'd love to know. Are the pro version socks? I mean, to be fair, actually, I do like the one that I made about the kit. I know some people have complained and think it's a bit childish. I do really like the wolf head on the socks.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I do think that's kind of cool. But do you think the difference between like the replica kit and the pro kit is for the socks? They're much easier to cut up, so you know you can, you know, do what all the cool kids do and
don't get Gully started. You know, there's no way Gully's going to cut up like 40 pound socks to play football in. Not a chance. I mean,
set me off now, Rich, man. I've lost my head's gone.
Where does that rank Gully? Where does that rank for you in terms of things against modern football?
In terms of recency bias, I think it's at the top. You know, it is the one thing that, having played with this next generation of footballers, just watching them on this, you know, there's normally the questions that go around at the start of a game, stuff like, you know, has anybody got any tape? Might be baby oil if that's the way you're inclined, something like that. The latest question is, anybody got any scissors? And I'm just like, what the hell could you possibly need scissors for? And I'd always just ask the question, if you play shit, are you going to blame it on the fact that you couldn't chop your socks up at the start of the frigging game?
I was going to say, I made the joke, but I actually don't understand the meaning behind it. Like, why do people cut their socks? Is it for circulation?
You can get proper... more ergonomically designed socks that fit in your boot, perhaps something like some shorter ones that people would rather wear than, you know, socks that absolutely cover your toe to knee.
So, I mean, surely there's a definite market for more ergonomically design, socks, whatever.
I mean, you're spending 40-50 quid on them, you'd hope that they were.
I mean, to be fair, my big Dragon's Den pitch, which I don't know why I'm saying this, you know, on a recorded broadcast where literally...
I'm mad, I've got my cash piled up here.
Taking notes.
So what it is, guys, I feel like I'm building up suspense here, is football socks with the shin pads built in. But you get the protection potentially all the way round, but could be almost potentially molded to your calf and shin, but it's not a separate shin pad or get stinky. It's the sock itself. That's my big idea for Dragon's Den.
I'm just kind of anticipating trouble putting it on.
Yeah, there could be that. Mm. Maybe a zip, I'm thinking.
Well, you've lost Adam. I think Adam's
Adam's dropped out of his in sheer annoyance at my madcap idea, which, you know, I'll make it work. Maybe just the front shin pad, then maybe not like protecting the calf.
I'm thinking more maybe a sleeve on the inside of the sock that you can slide in. Slip
shin pad in.
Yeah.
That could work. Because I'm just thinking of like Jack Grealish and... Calvert-Lewin, you have, you know, the 3-inch shinners.
Yeah.
I just sort of think, you know, maybe just the front one could work.
Maybe. And all you had to say was that you was out. You didn't have to just leave us all together.
But isn't that what they're doing in Dragon's Den? They just storm out. If they don't like it.
Well, I won't be sending some of my business proposal for it, but... I was going to say, listeners, if you have any ideas for football inventions that could save it, then please do let me know. I was going to say, I think that roughly wraps up today's recording. Big thank you for everyone who's listened. Make sure you keep up to date with all things Wolves Fancast at Wolves Fancast on your Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the same social to make things nice and easy. Make sure you check out the website because we're having lots of fantastic blogs. The latest one from Dan Butler's particularly good in terms of alternatives to Renato Sanchez, who Wolves were linked to but probably won't buy. So actually, who could we sign in midfield who'd give us the same impact? Really good in-depth read. If you've not already done so, make sure you subscribe on YouTube. If you're watching it on YouTube already, literally it's just down there, can't get my angles right, but yeah, make sure you like, share and subscribe as always. And for this week, it's goodbye from Adam.
Bye folks, later.
It's goodbye from Gully.
Yeah guys,
and it's goodbye from me. See you next time.